Well, good morning, church. It's good to see all of you here today. Got a lot of people gone, but I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm here, right? The title of the message today is Giving God Our Treasures, and it's from Genesis chapter 22, a very familiar passage of Scripture, possibly to most of us, a difficult passage in many ways. And so we want to look at that this morning. Giving God our treasures. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to the young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hands the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham! Abraham! And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. Okay. It ain't working. Okay. Maybe it, are you guys controlling that? When I click, you click, okay? What are the things you hold most dear in life that are your treasures? What is it you treasure in life? What are the things you hold most dear? For some of it's maybe a valuable family heirloom, been passed from generation to generation. Maybe a wedding ring from your that belonged to your grandmother or your mother. For me, there are a couple things that I own that my mom gave me. It's a chair and a rocking chair that was in my grandmother's home, which her parents built. Her parents built a home in Oklahoma, and they built these two chairs. and they sat in my grandmother's house for years, and then my mom got them, and my mom and dad restored them, and now they're in my house. Now, to be truthful, we don't sit in them very much because they're not really, they're kind of old. But they're a treasure to me because they belong to my great-grandparents and my grandparents and my mom, and then my mom gave them to me. In Carla's home, her dad has restored a 49 Ford coupe that was like the car that he dated Carla's mother in. And so that's a family treasure, a family heirloom. Maybe it's not a thing at all. Maybe it's the family name. Maybe your father said to you at one time or another, our name, the name of our family, has been respected for generations. Don't you do anything to dishonor it. Or maybe it's a lost, it's a picture of a child that you lost, or a brother or sister, parent, or a parent that may have died at a very young age. Maybe it's not a thing at all. Maybe it's a relationship with a son or daughter, a mother or father, or grandparent. You know, these kind of things oftentimes are more valuable to us than life itself. Click. Well, today God lays claim to our treasures. God lays claim to our treasures. He wants us to lay those treasures at His feet and surrender those to Him. Why? It's because He wants to be our treasure. God Himself wants to be the treasure of our lives. He wants to be the thing that we hold most dear, the person we hold most dear. He wants us to lay all of our earthly treasures and relationships at His feet so He can be our treasure. Okay. The thing God gives us, or even the relationships with family and friends that He allows to enter our lives, mustn't become substitutes for Him. The things that God gives us, or the relationships that He allows to be a part of our lives, must never become substitutes for Him. You can click that. I think it's the next one. No, it's not. I'm ahead of myself. You guys are just going to have to follow and figure it out. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, we're going to forget it. Okay? If we're not careful, the things God gives us can become substitutes for Him. Now, God gave Abraham the best gift of his life in his son Isaac. It was born when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. It was a miraculous gift of God. And we read in Genesis 22 that God commands Abraham, and the Bible clearly says it's a test. And I think that's important for us to see because even though the pagans around Abraham were practicing child sacrifice, and even though God had he hadn't given his commandments to show that he was not a part of that, he did want the people who read this to understand that it was a test of Abraham's faith. I don't think God, I don't know how to explain it, but God has never wanted that kind of sacrifice from people that follow Him. Never wanted that kind of human sacrifice, I should say. But God said to Abraham, take him. And He tested him. And oftentimes we don't realize God often puts us to the test. See, He doesn't tempt us to do evil, but He puts us to the test to see if, to strengthen our faith, to make it, to put us through the fire, to purify us so that we might love Him better and more. So God commanded Abraham to take his son, his only son, and give this treasure back to God as an offering. Abraham willingly and promptly obeyed God. He got up early the next day, the scripture says. He didn't question. How could God keep His promise of blessing the world through Isaac if Isaac was an offering that He gave back to God? He just trusted that God would do what He said He's going to do, even if he didn't understand how He could do it. Now, Hebrews 11 tells us, by faith Abraham, when tested, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. So Abraham trusted God completely, and even though he couldn't figure out how it was all going to work together, he began to obey God. He rose early the next morning. He made preparations to go to Moriah. He took two of his personal servants with him and Isaac. Before they set out, they cut the wood for the burnt offering. And then they set out, and after 3 days, Abraham saw the place where he was to offer the sacrifice, Mount Moriah. Now, Mount Moriah is located where the city of Jerusalem would one day be, and where the temple was, and where the hill called Golgotha or Calvary would one day be. Abraham left the servants, and he with the animals. He left the servants with the animals, and he and Isaac took off. And Abraham promised in faith that he and Isaac would return. He and Isaac set out, walking side by side. Isaac, the young man, was loaded down with the wood upon which he would be offered as a burnt offering. Abraham carried the knife to slay the sacrifice and the fire with which to offer it. On their way to the place of sacrifice, Isaac asked, "Father, we've got the wood and we've got the fire, but where is the lamb? Where is the lamb that will be the offering?" And Abraham, the man of faith, replied, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." You know, I often wonder, as Abraham said that, he was preaching as much to himself as he was sharing that truth with Isaac. Well, when they reached the place that God told them about, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood. He then bound his son Isaac, his greatest treasure, and Isaac, it seems, willingly submitted to this. He reached out to pick up the knife, and as he was getting ready to plunge the knife in his son, a wonderful thing happened. God called out to him, the angel of the Lord. And many times in the Old Testament, when we hear about the angel of the Lord, it's really referring to the pre-incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It refers to Jesus and his presence with his people. Oftentimes you'll hear the angel of the Lord, and I believe many times it's talking about the pre-incarnation of Jesus as he spoke to Abraham. And the angel of the Lord called out, God called out to him and said, "Abraham, Abraham, don't lay a hand on the boy." God said, "I've seen your willingness to offer the sacrifice, to give of your greatest treasure. Don't lay a hand on him. Don't do it. I know you are willing." Now, as we think about this very difficult story in the scripture, we can ask ourselves a couple questions. One in particular: what gives God the right to ask such things of us? Now, we can all say God has the right to do anything he wants to do with us and through us because he's God. And I think there's a certain truth to that. But I think behind that there's something else. What gives God the right to make such demands of us? Why should we be willing to lay our treasures, our greatest treasure, at his feet and make him the treasure of our lives? Well, something happened that helped us to know why we can do that. One day, another father and son walked up the same hill of Moriah called Golgotha, called Calvary. The son had to die for the sins of the world. He carried on his back the wood on which he would be offered. And as his father walked beside him with fire and the knife, the fire, his very own holy wrath that was directed towards sinful men because of our rebellion, and the knife, they walked up that hill side by side to that altar. Derek Kidner wrote, "Victim and offerer, walking both of them together, foreshadow. However, the greater partnership expressed in Isaiah 53, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. You see, the time came on that day, 2,000 years after Abraham was on Mount Moriah, for the knife to be plunged into the hands and the feet of his son. But on that day, the God who had called out 2,000 years before, "Do not harm the boy," was the one being offered. He was the Lamb of God, taking away the sins of the world, who as our substitute was dying in our place, as his Father poured out on his own Son the punishment for our sin. The thud of the hammer was heard, driving the nails into his hands and his feet. He was not spared that day. The Scripture says, "He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" What gives him the right to ask us for our treasures? He gave his very best treasure, his very own Son. God the Father gave God the Son, who willingly went to the cross for us. And he asked the same thing of us, to give back to him our greatest treasure. God gave his Son for us, his greatest treasure for us. The old hymn says, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, wear the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was slain." You see, maybe the great lesson of the sacrifice of Isaac is not really Abraham's love for God, but God's supreme love for Abraham and for us. God offered his son, and his son, like Isaac, willingly submitted to being offered. But God didn't stay his own hand. He poured out on his son the wrath, his own holy wrath that sinful men deserved because of our sin. He became our substitute. He became our guilt offering. What God stopped Abraham from doing, offering Isaac as an offering, God did for us himself in giving Jesus to die for us. This is the God that you can trust with your greatest treasure, whatever that treasure might be. I heard about a church celebrating the Lord's Supper together. It was a bigger church, and in the church was a family with a son, and I think he was a teenager, an older son, and he had autism. The pastor was reading from the Scripture as he was getting ready to distribute the Lord's Supper, and he said the words very familiar to us, "This is my body, which is given for you." All of a sudden, the young man with autism who was sitting with his family was overcome with excitement, and he stood up, he hit himself on the chest, and he cried, "For me! For me!" He turned around to the congregation, "For me! For me!" I think he understood what God had done for him, sacrificing his very own son so his sins could be forgiven, sacrificing the best that he had so we could have life. Maybe today all of us, like that young man, should cry out with uncontrolled thankfulness, "For me! for me. Because it was for you and me he died and lives today to forgive our sins and give us life. You see, you can trust your life to this one. You can trust your life to the one who loves you above everyone else. You can trust your treasures to the one who loves you above everyone else. Even if your treasures are those you love, don't make those you love your treasure. Make God your treasures and trust those treasures to God, knowing that He loves them more than you do. He loves the treasure of my family and my children more than I do. You see, He's the treasure above all treasures, the pearl of great price, the one who gave His greatest treasures for you and me. Today, trust Him with your life and your treasures. Don't hold anything back from Him. Give your life to Him. Trust Him with your treasures, because He is the God who gave His greatest treasure for you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray, if there's someone here that's just wondering about putting their trust in You and receiving You into their life and truly believing in You, I pray that they would see that You gave Your greatest treasure for them, that You did not spare Your own Son but gave Him up for us all. I pray that they would make that personal, that each of us today would make that personal. You gave Him up for me so that I could be forgiven. Lord, forgive us when we don't trust You with our treasures and with our lives. Forgive us when we hold anything back. Lord, help us to lay everything we have at Your feet every single minute of every day. Lord, if there's someone here that's never made that initial surrender, that never has passed from death into life and put their trust in Jesus, I pray that today they would. Father, if there's someone here that You're asking from them something, and it's very difficult for them to give, something they love, something they treasure, and they're not sure if they want to give it, help them to know that they can give it and they can trust it with You. Lord, You'll never disappoint us when we trust You with our lives and with our treasures. Help us to not disappoint You by holding anything that we have back from You. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.